you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That was Matthew chapter 5, verse 8.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 13th, 2026. Oh, listening friend, welcome to another edition of Mark and Friends as we continue our study of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 with Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church. Appreciate his passion for God's Word, for reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and preaching each and every Sunday here in Springfield, and his passion of serving this radio ministry. And all of you that tune in today, or maybe you'll listen to this online, or maybe somewhere parts of the world because of our streaming audio, but we appreciate his faithfulness in declaring God's word and lifting high the name of Jesus. That's what we're all about, to educate, edify, and evangelize. And as Jesus says and has taught in this passage in Matthew about the Beatitudes, in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In a world filled with distractions and divided loyalties, Jesus points us to something deeper, a heart that is sincere, focused on him, and set apart for his purposes. Today we'll talk about what that means to pursue that kind of heart before the Lord. So let's hear what Pastor Mark Johnson has to say, along with a room of friends, some dedicated, faithful people that come here and are a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. So thank you, everyone. We prayed up the program, and we appreciate Pastor Mark Johnson sharing.
Mark, I'm so grateful that this is going out to several states of people today. And I want to take just a moment and say, if you're concerned about our country, if you're concerned about the direction it's going, if you're concerned about the moral fiber of our country, do something about it. The first thing you can do is begin to pray, God, heal our land. Guess what? Easter is on April the 5th. People are more likely to go to church on Easter Sunday than any other Sunday of the year. Find some people who are not Christians and get them to come to church with you on April the 5th and be praying that in the middle of that service, the Spirit of God will bring revelation into their life and draw them to salvation. You know what? You never lose when you bring somebody in the church. You bring them in, either the Spirit of God calls them to salvation, or they hear the Word and the Word of God is planted in them and that seed can be watered and we can believe God for a transformation in their life.
And Pastor Mark, I know we said this last week and have said it many times over the air, but people don't go to church because they've not been invited. If you personally invite a neighbor, a coworker, somebody you know down the road, the likelihood is like 90% or more that they'll go to church if you personally invite them, and maybe treat them out to lunch afterwards, but invite somebody to church this Easter and pray it up before you approach them, and approach them very kindly and just offer them as, hey, would you like to go to church with me this Sunday? My family loves to go. Don't be surprised that they'll say yes. Just ask.
Yeah, what's the worst they can do? Say no?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're not coming anyway.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's not going to really hurt anything. Just be kind about it and say, oh, I'd love to have you come.
Yeah.
You know, this verse that we're talking about today, this is high-end Christianity right here. This is what we should be striving for. This is a goal for life. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, Mark, I've been around the church for many, many, many years, grew up in church. I've been around a few people that I thought they had a pretty pure heart. I've been around a lot of Christians that were struggling with a pure heart. It can be a battle in our life. We need the sifting of the Word and the moving of the Spirit in our life all the time. So what would a pure heart look like? Anybody in this room have an idea? What would be the quality of a pure heart?
I'll jump in here. The purest time of my heart is like between 2 and 3 a.m. when I lay in bed and it's quiet and I'm praying to God and worshiping him. And many times during that time I said, Lord, could this happen at noon or 2 in the afternoon? I mean, it just seems like when I'm very isolated by myself worshiping God, I think I have the purest of heart. And I try to envision, is this what David had for you to call him a man after your own heart? Did he have that innocence or that childlike faith or that attentiveness that knowing you're almighty, you're sovereign, you're good, you're gracious, you're full of mercy? That's what I try to replicate in my mind as I worship him at night. But I seldom can find that I have that same heart throughout the day. So that's kind of a struggle, but I think when we can go to God in the innocence, and I know we've talked about that word destitute, when we recognize we're fallen, we're flawed, that outside of what Christ did on the cross for our behalf, I mean, we're fallen, we're far from God. But seems like during those times when we can just be transparent and worshiping him, that's one of the few times I find myself maybe having somewhat of a pure heart.
You know, Mark, I would say we all need to do heart checks. And when you think about a purity, there would be some things that I would say we check our heart. Do I have ill will towards anyone? Are my relationships healthy? Do I feel in my heart the right way I should feel in my relationships? Or am I carrying bitterness or frustration? Are my eyes introducing lust into my heart? Is there hatred or bigotry in my heart? All of those things, we need to weigh them out and look in our heart and see what's there. And then, again, we begin to seek God for his righteousness and ask him to purify us. We live in a day today that it seems like there's an epidemic of moral failure among Christian leaders. How does that happen? How does this gifted, talented person that comes across as genuine in the pulpit, people love them, and then all of a sudden you find out about these hidden sins that went on maybe for years and nobody knew about them, and suddenly they come to light? Well, one of the issues of a pure heart is a lack of pride, a lack of thinking, I deserve something. I actually talked to a pastor once who had fallen morally, and he said, look, there was so much stress in my life and so many things going on in my life, I felt like I deserved this. No, I deserve whatever God gives me. I need to trust God for my life. I need to protect my life. Where's it at? Where am I spending time? Who am I spending time with? What am I thinking about? Now, I am thankful, and we should all be thankful, that God is pure of heart. God doesn't have a bad day. God doesn't have a bad moment. This is one of the places, though, where we as humans, with a sin nature, where we fall short of the glory of God, where we miss it. Purity, I believe, begins in the mind and is destroyed in us. Purity is destroyed in us through the mind. What we think about, what we allow in our mind, what we allow to take root in our thinking, begins to have an expression in our spirit, whether that's anger, whether that's lust. It's constantly pulling on us. And again, purity is not something that we can obtain on our own. We cannot even move that way on our own. The purity of God is the only purity that can move in my life and help me. So the sin nature, I heard a guy describe sin once. He said it's like gravity. It's constantly pulling you down. You've got some shirts hanging here in this studio. And every time I come in, they're on hangers and they're hanging down. They don't start floating. Gravity keeps them hanging towards the floor. If you let them off of that hook, they would all fall to the floor. You know, we put a towel over a rack in our bathrooms and we come in later and it's fallen on the floor. We didn't balance it right and the gravity pulled it down. Sin is like gravity. It's always pulling us. So you take the person who lets pornography get in their mind, and it doesn't stay at the beginning level. They want more and more, and it becomes more and more graphic and more disgusting. My anger becomes more and more powerful in me, and it begins to spill out. I look at a little baby that I have, and I think, I'll never express anger to that baby. But now they're 5 years old or 2 years old, and our anger is being expressed to that child, because it's always pulling us to the worst. Bigotry gets worse and worse. And it begins in our mind and how we think. So the enemy works through lies to bring impurity into our minds and into our life. God works through conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can muffle that conviction. I can justify it. I can say things to myself of this is okay because I can do this because my husband or my wife is like this. Mm-hmm. I can take this from work because they don't pay me enough and I deserve more. We can justify ourselves in all sorts of ways instead of having a pure mind and saying, no, I'm supposed to be honest. I'm supposed to cherish my spouse. I'm supposed to be a person who doesn't walk in anger. The anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I've got to deal with this. I've got to pray my way through it. But I need that conviction, and I need to embrace the conviction. Or I embrace the lies of the enemy. So a thought comes into our mind, and we either embrace that thought or we reject it. That's the battlefield of the human. God is pure. He doesn't have any of that battle. The day is going to come when the enemy is going to be cast off of this earth and locked up, and he won't be around to tempt us. But even in that millennial reign, we discover that there are people who sin. There are people during that time. At the end of it, there'll be a judgment because they'll let the enemy loose for a while. God will, and the world will turn. And it's going to be a day of judgment. And so we've got to be a people who protect the purity of our minds by looking at the Word and saying, is this a spirit of the Word? Because sin will keep pulling us lower and lower. We'll become hardened. We become jaded. And it becomes normal. And it pulls us deeper and deeper into impurity.
I wrote two things down as you were talking, that progressive nature of sin. It just always gets worse. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And whether we justify it or whatever, we fall into that trap. But then I also wrote down, what's that verse about where we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ? Probably many of our listeners, including myself, that struggle with the pure of heart. How can we best achieve that? Is it just surrendering to the Holy Spirit? I think that the bear had said earlier, you know, we need boundaries. Boundaries are healthy, but how do we maintain or keep that purity of heart because we're so bombarded with the world?
Jesus has taught us this right in the Beatitudes. He says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. So we get this hunger and thirst. So you read the Psalms, especially Psalm 119, and over again in Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, teach me your statutes, O Lord. One verse says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. And so that becomes one of our prayers. God, today, let the words of my mouth, the things that I say, let them be pleasing to you.
It struck me that Navigator, I think it's 119, 911, how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? I had hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I think Tim knows that verse too. But yeah, maybe it's constantly, what are we replacing into our heart and mind? Is it God's word? Is it scripture? Is it worshipful music?
This is why devotion is important. It's why reading the Bible is important. It's why putting ourselves under preaching that will bring conviction is important. If you go to church and your toes don't get stepped on every now and then, something's not said that kind of, is he talking to me?
Yeah.
Is he talking to me?
Does he read my diary or whatever? Yeah.
That's supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen because we have a microphone in your house. That happens because the Holy Spirit's in your house. And he comes to the preacher and he says, preach this. Say this. And the preacher doesn't even know why. He just all of a sudden feels the compelling urge of the Spirit to bring this point home clear. I'll tell you, as a preacher, there are times I preach two services on Sunday morning. And there are times that in one service, all of a sudden, something becomes alive. I sense it. I feel it. It's the Spirit leading me. And it becomes alive and becomes clear. And in the next service, I kind of think, well, it's going to happen the same way. And it doesn't. It doesn't happen the same way. Why is it? Well, there's somebody there that God's trying to speak to. If I come into that place and I go, God, I'm here today to hear you. Mm-hmm. And so what I tell folks at our church, listen, if I get up here and I say anything and I can't back it up with the word, just pitch it. Mm-hmm. Just pitch it. Say, oh, Pastor didn't have a good day today. We better pray for him more next week. It got off on the flesh today. But if I can back it up with the word, you better listen to it. It's not my authority. I went through a time once where I went through a really crushing time with a family situation. And my wife and I were talking about some decisions one of our children had made. And she said, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like I've lost all moral authority to speak to anybody else about these kind of issues. I could take you where we were driving. We were driving down the road when I said that. And as soon as I said it, the Spirit of God said to me, you didn't have any moral authority in the first place. It's not you that has any authority. It's my word that has authority. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Just preach my word. The word is the answer. The word will come with authority, and it should convict us. Now, when I get so jaded that I can sit in a church service and I hear someone talk about pornography, we understand statistics tell us we have an epidemic of pornography in America today, even in the church. And I become so jaded I can sit there and not feel convicted, not feel I need to do something about this, not move to the place where I have to recognize I may need to get some help with this, then I'm really in a dangerous, dangerous place. If I can sit there and hear a message on sexual morality and I'm living with my girlfriend and I can sit there and not feel that, that's a jaded heart. That's not a pure heart. The pure heart hears that and comes under conviction. And they say, I've got to do something about this.
And doesn't healthy conviction always lead us towards Christ? I mean, there's condemnation, and the evil one will bring that, and that has us turn away from God. But healthy conviction, I love healthy conviction when sin is pointed out in my life, because it's like it reminds me how much I need Jesus, not to be judgmental of others, and then God's grace. And we talked about it last week, about blessed are the merciful, because God shows us mercy. So healthy conviction should always turn us towards God, recognizing we need a Savior. Condemnation usually is because of the evil one to turn us away from God.
My niece recently went through some intensive physical therapy after her shoulder basically tore itself apart. And we would talk after her physical therapy sessions, and she'd talk about how much it hurt and to go through all this. And I would, be sympathetic, but at the end, like, this is how you get better. Is through the path that is painful, because there's a whole lot more pain if you don't get better.
Condemnation, for me, and I'm not going to say this is forever, but for me, condemnation is usually the enemy saying, remember what you did back there 10 years ago? You were a dirty dog. I feel bad. I didn't know I was doing the wrong thing at the time. I didn't know I hurt their feelings at the time. Now I realize I should have acted, and it just feels like a weight put on you. Conviction is that in the moment, you need to turn. You need to turn right now. And it may be from something that I've been doing for 10 years, but it's an adjustment of my direction is what conviction brings. It brings turning. Oh, I used to think of people that way. I used to see people different from me that way, and that's wrong. I used to do that, and that's wrong. It turns me. Condemnation just makes me feel worthless. I can't do anything about it. I can't change it. It's way back in the past. I wish I could roll time back and do something different, but I can't. That's a weight the enemy wants to put on you. And that's what God is very clear. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to free us. He came to deliver us. And so we look at this purity of heart, and we've got to be serious about developing that purity of heart. And that takes a lot of sifting of the word. The word washes us. The word cleanses us. When we accept it and we say, what do we say about the very beginning? I'm destitute. I'm mournful. I am meek. I am looking for God's direction. That's where the life of God can come.
I know we didn't touch on it much today, but we've touched on it on other programs, but the importance of accountability too, and some of the things you mentioned, Mark, and some of the struggles, listening friend, that you may be going through today. Find other faithful followers of Jesus, people that you can be in a small group with, that you can share and be transparent, and have, if you're a man, other men that can hold you accountable. How did you do last week in this issue? Have you found yourself falling into this? You know, let's talk about it. So accountability is a great part to help you continue to have that purity of heart.
Let me give you one. We've all had weaknesses. And it's just foolish to think, oh, I don't want anybody to know about my past. I had a guy in our church for years. His name was Dennis. Great guy, older guy. And he came to me many times. He'd say, look, Pastor, if you ever have somebody that's struggling with alcohol, I'm your guy. I was an alcoholic for so many years. God delivered me. And if I had guys struggling with alcohol, I'd walk them over to him, and he would take them under wing and work with them and pray with them and talk with them and be a resource to them. See, our past issues will either be something that the enemy can use as a club to condemn us and beat us up with, or we can pick it up and use it as a club to beat the enemy with. Amen. I can now take my past and say, yep, I remember when I was selfish. I remember when I was angry. I remember when I used to do. But now, God has changed me from that. Now I can help other people who are struggling with the same thing.
Mm. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. Listening friend, Jesus reminds us that the greatest blessing is not found in what we achieve, but in the condition of our hearts before God. A pure heart, one that seeks Him sincerely, opens the door to truly seeing and knowing the Lord. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and they can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. We appreciate Pastor Mark Johnson and this room of friends helping us walk through Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.